Good evening, Perry. A fire? Own a motel? Not too far from here. And you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! And I'm the devil!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Necronomicast. Hey, this is like a special episode. That's what
it's
we've been
very
doing.
Very special.
We've been doing that lately.
It's a very special Necronomicast.
Special. Yes, with us today, Scuba Steve.
Boom. Oh, wait, we're on already?
We're on already.
Yeah. Oh, see, I became like, you know, this sort of radio star now, and I was waiting for the music. But
No. This is all being recorded right now.
I forgot how this all works.
Yeah, see? It's not radio.
I will go back to my roots. Wayne and Lori are the first two people ever to actually want to talk to me in person about anything I've ever done. So
and publish it so people would know.
Yeah, actually, then admit that it actually happened. So.
Nice. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a different show. You've been on World's Wayne before.
And 5 o'clock lifestyle.
And 5 o'clock. So this, do you play any Dungeons & Dragons or anything?
I do not.
Well, then maybe you won't be on the D&D 5e podcast.
Why can't I hear anything in my headphones?
You can't hear a thing?
No. Well, how about in fact, maybe that's why I didn't think we were on.
Yeah, probably, because you're like, I can't hear.
This is like the sound booth of the newlywed game. It's like, not only can I not hear anything, oh, I heard like a some. Oh, there we go. Hey, ta-da! All right. Now it feels like we're live
now
here.
Now live.
Yeah. I'm not sure why that happened.
Be that as it may.
Who knows? So, yeah, we thought, yeah, that'd be the last podcast you would have to be on. Would be the D&D one. So you're on Necronomicast today because, again, it's that time of year. It's October. We're coming up on the Haunted Hangover
3D.
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 It's the third one already.
In your face.
Yeah. So not those guys.
Yeah.
No, so the first one was just the Haunted Hangover. The second one was the Haunted Hangover Part 2 because every horror slasher flick's got, eight or nine follow-ups. And then, much like Jaws had the first Jaws and the second Jaws, and there was Jaws 3D. Those that remember that, one of the worst movies ever made was Jaws 3D. So hopefully, the Haunted Hangover 3D does not live up to that expectation.
Right. This will be much better.
I can't promise anything, though.
Right.
for all the stuff that Hit That Dive has done, it's still a guy named Steve doing it all. And every now and then, I just get really tired of doing stuff and don't do anything. So.
You get there most of the way and then
we somehow limp home the last 100 yards like a really bad marathoner after 18 hours of saying one of these days I'll finish a marathon. So
right,
but that's par for my course.
Well, if you have not, if you don't know what the Haunted Hangover is, Steve, tell some more audience what this is. I don't know if they have that in their city, so
they might not
be listening from.
So, first of all, you can go to hauntedhangoveromaha.com and check out the website that I put together. But a few years ago, I have a love of several things. Number one, dive bars. Number two, the paranormal. And I thought, what if we did an event that married the two together? So why don't we go to some bars that may or may not be haunted around town, bring a paranormal crew, have some drinks on the Sunday, and figure out if they're haunted or not? I really didn't think people would be that interested in it. I thought it would be me and a couple, like maybe 5-6 other people,
right.
Wayne and Lori, and you know, maybe some guy named Stu.
Yeah.
What amazed me was there are people that have a love, more so of the paranormal than they do bars, but they want to go check out new places, see new things, do something different with a group of people that might have the same interests that they have. And the Haunted Hangover now in its third year has really taken a life of its own that we get people that want to experience the paranormal in a group, you know.
And drinking.
In a safe environment.
The drinking's actually come in second. What's really weird is, the first one ended at Louis' Bar, so on my way here is the first time I saw the new gas station up there.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want it to be a drinking event. Yes, they are bars, and yes, people will be drinking, but the first love should be you're there to understand or learn a little bit more about paranormal research,
right.
All that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Will we have a few beers, a few Jim Beam Ghost Bloody Marys? Absolutely. Will people get drunk at the end of the day? Probably. But the real focus is...
Oh, sorry.
What was that?
What was that?
I think the real focus is that we're, as a group of people, people will learn how to work, you know, the a FLIR machine or other ways to, you know, experience different paranormal activity and mm-hmm. just, you know, go out and have a good time with a group of friends and get a free T-shirt and do something fun.
Right. It's a, you know, so you guys have a bus that takes everybody around?
No, I got rid of the buses.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tough. 2 years ago, we had a bus. And what happens when you have a bus is everybody feels that it's like they just went out to sea and all laws from that country no longer right. actually apply.
International waters on the road. Yeah. There is no such thing.
So shotgunning... The problem was, like, you had people that had never been out on a Sunday drinking in their lives. They're now 40, and apparently you get on a bus and shotgunning a bush-like tall boy seems like a really good idea.
It's a genius idea.
It is, but the only knock I got on the first Haunted Hangover was people that were there for the paranormal aspect said I thought it would be more paranormal and less...
Hangover.
Frat boy hangover stuff.
Right. Mm.
And that was one of the few criticisms I have actually taken to heart.
Yeah.
I thought, let's do this in a way that we pay the proper amount of reverence to what people want, which is maybe to find out if there is an afterlife for people
well,
out there.
Well, I think it works also with again, it's all about respect. You know, that's one thing I don't like about paranormal groups is the ones that go in there and really antagonize. You know, Ghost Adventures.
Ghost, no, like Zach Bagans. Yeah, no.
I hate that guy.
No, this is about, and look, whether you believe or not, doesn't matter to me one way or the other. Do I believe, sort of, have I been convinced 100%? About 95%. But if you believe in the entire premise, go there with the respect that if you were the person there... You deserve. Do not antagonize. We don't allow Ouija boards. We don't allow, like, all that stuff. You are, in essence, invading somebody else's space. And you should be respectful of that. So we make sure that we set up the premise of what's going on when people get there that day. That this isn't a joke, necessarily. We make fun of the fact that we're in bars on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the paranormal, if there is an afterlife, we're not there. We're there to... Look... If there are dead people in these bars, they're the rock stars of the whole thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they are going to be treated as such. So that's how we approach the whole thing. And it works on that level. That we, if you're there to get hammered on cheap beer and make fun of what may or may not be a spirit in that bar...
That's not the tour for you.
You don't belong here.
No. Right.
And we don't want you, and you won't have fun. If you want to show up and understand something maybe that doesn't completely make sense to you and learn more with a group of people as we all do it together, it's definitely the thing for you because chances are these bars are haunted. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah,
they've got history. Whole,
yeah,
definitely does. And so, again, it's a paranormal tour first.
Yeah. So where do you go? Mostly downtown in the old market or where?
Luckily, we all live in Omaha, which has the old market, which has been around since the 1800s.
Right.
So all the bar, whether you're a bar down in the old market or not, chances are if you have a space down there, well, you guys are down.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
In Nodo. I can't imagine that's not haunted.
Yeah.
But so we go to O'Connor's Irish Pub, which is known as the most haunted place in Omaha.
Yeah. Right?
Or bar, anyway. We're going to go to T. Henry's, which has a small skipping boy that people have seen.
Right.
They have 20 years of history of notes that they've taken of things that they've seen. People that have worked there have seen hauntings. We're going to go to the Dubliner again, which is haunted by, among other people, the ghost of Lockup Bob, who used to work at the Dubliner. His brother and sister-in-law will be on the tour to give stories.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, I mean, what this has turned into is a walking campfire story of legacies and legends and stories that may or may not be true, but they are true. So we have Lockup Bob's family on board. We're going to go to what the hell did I tell you we're going to go to, Wayne?
I don't know.
Harney Street.
Harney
Street.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, are you there? Are going on Harney Street?
Yeah, we're going to go there. We're going to go to Harney Street Tavern. We're going to go to Havana Garage. And then Brickway, and we've already Brickway Distillery and Brewery, and we've already done investigations in Brickway and O'Connor's, and have caught very convincing evidence, at least EVP wise, which is voice phenomenon. When we went to both of them, so we're going to go to the Dubliner this weekend. But yeah, I mean, this is what started off as a fun way to sort of find a way to creatively go out and drink on a Sunday without looking like a complete louse has turned into something that really actually works and people enjoy. Well,
and I think the one thing that people like about this is that it happens to be a paranormal tour. Yeah, you call it Haunted Hangover, but all you're doing really is you're going to the bars to do investigations. Now, what better place? Unless there's some tragedy that happened in a home, bars are so packed all the time with energy from living people as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so much rich history and tragedy. Everything happens in the bar.
But even like less than tragedy, when you walk into most bars, you never get a feeling of dread. You never get a feeling of you don't belong there. What you get is a feeling of quite the opposite. You don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So the living can't be the only people that have that feeling. My assumption is, and it's been, with Hit That Dive and everything else, I always write about bar families and, you hang out with your second family at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you die? Well, chances are you're going to go where you feel most comfortable, where you felt most accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody feels accepted by their mom, their dad, their brother, their sister, their aunt, their uncle. But man, they found a bar where people were like, dude, I don't give a shit who you are. Just hang out here and have fun.
Right.
And so that's why I think in older buildings all across the country, you're going to have people that, after they pass away, are like, where did I have the most fun in life? Where did I feel accepted? It's going to be at the bar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It just is. I mean, that's human nature. Is it going to be everybody? No. I mean, I know a guy that probably never had a drink in his life, sold insurance. He's probably hanging out in an insurance seminar. But for the vast majority of us, we're going to be like, okay, if I have, if I no longer have to worry about being at work at 7 in the morning,
right.
Where am I going to go? Some people are going to go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to go to Greece. But a lot of us are just going to go to the neighborhood bar and hang out with our friends. Yeah, we're going to go to the Dubliner.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. It is. I mean, it's really not that hard to figure out. I just think there is a segment of the population, probably more than 50%, that's what when they punch out of work, they don't want to get on a plane and go to Cabo.
Right.
They want to get in a cab or walk or drive. That's not a good idea. And go to the bar down the street.
Right.
That's what they want to do. That's their enjoyment of. That's their idea of fun. And it's funny because my wife struggles with the fact that I hang out with and write about people that's what they like to do.
Right.
Is it for everybody? No, it's not. But is it for a lot of people? Yeah, that's they don't want to. They want to get drunk and be somebody. Toby Keith. The country singer wrote that song, and that's what really appeals to a lot of people. Whether you agree with it or not is not up to me. That's just what it is, and that's what I talk about.
Right.
So do you try to pick a new place every year?
We try and at least
Some ones in.
Yeah, no, we try and mix it up a little bit. We're going to add the Havana Garage this year.
Right.
We're going to add Harney Street Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
But some of a place like O'Connor's will always be sort of the cornerstone of what we do.
Right.
Katie O'Connor, that owns the place, she didn't believe in the paranormal when she bought it. She now completely, totally believes in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she wants other people to understand sort of her thought process. So this is a way to get people to think. And look, is it a conventional way of thinking? No, it really isn't. You have a 9-to-5 job. You go to a cube. You go home. You go to the grocery store. You feed the kids. You go to bed. You have a beer. You watch football. You don't think about this stuff, but, and Katie was the same way, but, she really, two people were a driving force between the Haunted Hangover. Katie O'Connor, who allowed, first 2 years ago, said, do whatever you need to do in my bar, because I'm totally behind this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy was from Prism, which is the paranormal group that we use.
And they've been on the show before, too.
So Carl, God, I forget his last name, Norgood, I believe. His daughter, Carl, died last year, but I was on the Pat and JT After Dark special 2 years ago, and Carl was the first guy that actually had a conversation with me and didn't treat me like a novelty act.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say, okay, cool, we're going to go out and go drinking. He was like, I understand what you're doing. He's like, I love the fact that you're trying to get other people involved in what we're doing.
Right.
And last year on After Dark and Pat and JT, the conversation was, look, you couldn't have this conversation 10 years ago, or people would say you are crazy.
Right.
You're a fucking lunatic. Get out of my space. And now people are like, tell me more. You know what? I didn't want to talk about this, but now that somebody else is openly talking about, there might be, for all I know, your goddamn basement's on a plane, right?
It's not.
It's not, though.
How old's this house?
40s.
Yeah.
It's haunted.
It's not.
It has to be.
Well, no. Well, it depends on your definition of haunt. Okay. Now, right. I do know we do have confirmation that that we have a lady that comes through. I mean, we've had Psychic Kelly here, and she says people come through. We know that there's.
But it's like, you know, like our grandparents. They're not haunting the place. They're like touching base with us. You know what I mean? Like, well, that's a difference.
And that's true, too. Yeah, no. I mean, there's like your sort of demonic possession hauntings.
Right.
Where people get scratched and... but
right.
That's bad stuff.
Things don't move here. Things
but even not even like
here.
Like you're talking about sort of like residual energies of a person who like sticks around a place because of the place.
Right.
Like, we have some like kind of spirits or whatever that aren't ghosts, quote unquote. I guess what I would consider a ghost, which is somebody who is kind of maybe stuck here and doesn't necessarily travel on, just sort of like hangs out, you know, whereas this is just sort of like people just swinging by and being like, hey, like if we were in another city, they would also swing by there too. They wouldn't come back to this house. Right. Do you know what I mean? So it's not the house, it's like us.
Right, yeah. And so there's different levels of that when you talk about. I think that a lot of places have energy that allow spirits to check in, to be around. Some of them have malevolent entities that
that's the good one, right?
No, bad. That's the bad one. Ones.
I always get this
stay
wrong.
There.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
Damn it.
Malevolent. Yeah, it's
benevolent.
They're
that's the good one, right?
Benevolent. Yeah.
Oh, that's like
it's
the
gracious.
Moose. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, but I think a lot of downtown, again, there's just things that happen. So some places are a little bit more active, and some of those spirits are there, and they check in, and maybe they just hang around a little bit more, and they make their presence known. So if there are any entities in our place, you might say, which I know that they do come through and check on us, they certainly don't make themselves known in any obvious ways. So they may, like if your house, you know, you don't know, I don't have anything going on in my house. Well, but I've had dreams of my grandfather or something. So they are checking in, and they do that. But when it comes down to like some of these places, like Bovet, you were telling me, we have friends that are psychics and sensitives and family members, and whether you believe it or not, I know you're wrong because it's true.
and I'm somewhat sensitive, and like right now as we're sitting here, I don't feel like there's three of us down here. I feel like there's more than that.
There is
a fat,
not in a bad
kitty.
Way. Well, there's a fat cat walking around here too. But no, there's a certain feeling of like, just go on with what you're doing. It's cool. Like,
yeah.
We're happy with
it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing I'm totally comfortable about. And this has been the only house that I felt really comfortable in pitch black darkness, just walking around. I have never had any scary feelings at all. In fact, I have
now, did you growing up? Because I grew up in a house, like, as it turns out in retrospect, the house I grew up in, I think, was haunted as hell.
Really?
I never felt comfortable, safe. I never felt like somebody wasn't watching me. But I didn't know that was the feeling until after I moved out.
Right.
Then all of a sudden
you're young.
You're young, but I mean,
that's all you've known.
Right. But, you know, I moved out when I was kind of a slacker. I was like 23 years old when I moved to Washington, D.C., moved in a house. And I was like, wait, suddenly I don't feel like somebody's always watching behind me. And I think a lot of times you don't realize that maybe something was up until after you move out from that situation.
Right. And not necessarily like the bad, sort of like super bad ones, just sort of like people kind of
bad
there,
at all, but
like,
it was I could sit in my parents' living room was huge. They had it, you know, remodeled when I was like 6 years old. But it always felt like I was not the only person in there.
Right.
Which I didn't realize wasn't a normal feeling until after I moved somewhere else and I was
like,
well, now I'm sitting in a room alone and I feel like I'm sitting in a room alone.
Right.
That's
weird.
yeah. No, we acknowledge those things here. So I think that's why it's really comfortable. We acknowledge that there are spirits that check in on us. We acknowledge and accept the fact that they will be here, whether we know that they are or feel them or not. And that's perfectly okay with us. And sometimes we do have dreams that, you know, they can communicate with. So, and, you know, whether that's true or not, I don't care. I'm going to choose to believe what I want to believe. But yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I'm super sensitive. I don't necessarily have seen any much of anything, very, very little experiences, but I'm totally open to all of that.
I usually only get the feelings when it's not positive.
Right.
You know what I mean? When it's that sort of like sense of heaviness.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, the one bar where I hang out in quite a bit, as we all know, is the Village Bar in Ralston. It was built in the late 1800s. It was the Ralston Mortuary up until about 1910. It was one of the two buildings that wasn't knocked down in the tornado here in Nebraska in 1913.
Yeah.
And I've had paranormal crews in there, and they've clearly pinpointed tons of activity in there.
Yeah.
But you don't walk in and go, somebody wants me out of here.
Right, right. It's
not bad. In fact, quite the opposite. Again, like I said, it's that somebody doesn't want me to leave.
Right.
That whatever, whomever may be hanging out in there, whether they're alive today or not, enjoy having a good time, want mm-hmm. people around. The only, you know, they don't necessarily want to drive people out of there. If a full body apparition somehow shows up behind the bar one day, it might scare the
right.
out of a it's few people.
And you rarely hear that, too, even on some of these shows in bars. It's usually not anything trying to get you. Well, I mean, I guess if you watch, Paranormal Witness and things like that, they get the extreme cases where these wanted those people out of this place. It was an old brothel and there were murders and vengeful spirits. But I think, you know, more or less in a house situation,
or even it's a different bar, than a bar. Like you said.
Well, even a bar. You know, most of the time I would think that the bars would feel welcoming because that's kind of the vibe and the energy that's in there 24/7. Now, when you have a tragedy in a house and that's the last thing that's happened there, that's going to stay there. That's going to be that residual energy. So, yeah, it makes perfect sense, you know, why somebody would be vengeful from a house rather than a bar.
And the Villisca Axe Murder House, I mean, that is kind of the deal, that it's a residual haunting type. But but was it because the house was somewhat negative before that happened and they drove somebody to do it? There's never been an answer for that. But there are tons of crews, and Prism goes through there quite a bit and captures. There's apparently a steam iron that will fall down on its own. They have great, great, great EVPs of voices that will just raise the hair on the back
and
of
you
neck.
Can yeah in fact you can go back on the Necronomicast down to I think our first year we had Prism on here, and we had Maps. Prism did have a great story of Villisca. We played some incredible EVPs of the children there.
That's what they always capture is the children, which is I think the residual part of it all.
But they're like responsive. They're actually
they
I don't know, it does things where it's kind of, I don't know.
For the Haunted Hangover, we did research. What am I talking about here?
Yeah.
a little investigative.
We Googled.
Josh. No. We actually went to O'Connor's and had the great crew again from Prism, 15 of their members walking around with all kinds of equipment. And, you know, they captured 10 minutes of good stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was a little girl that they're like, we couldn't understand what she was saying. But to me, it clearly sounded like there was a little girl saying hungry.
Aww.
So you can go to the Prism page, hit that dive page. You know, it's really, really interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Again, whether you believe or not, that's not why I'm here or why you guys are here.
Totally.
But we will at least walk you to the entrance of where there's things that should make you think.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't buy it, I don't care.
Yeah, that's okay.
Lori doesn't care. Wayne
that's
doesn't
your
care.
Deal.
No.
That's
Prism cool. doesn't care. No, nobody cares. But you can't, you know, I'm the biggest cynic in the world, and I hear a lot of the stuff, and I go, I can't rule this out. Yeah, I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm scientific. I like to make fun of just about everything, and there are things that we've captured in the few years I've been doing this that I can't explain. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I do. Cool. The only thing annoys me about that, about something, and I got into this recently, but, you know, definitely I like to keep my mind open, but people that absolutely say, well, if I don't see it, I'm not going to believe it. Or if there's no scientific, there's always a scientific explanation for everything. You
but
are crazy.
Not.
There's not. And it's ignorant, I think, for people to think that they know and that science knows everything about the universe. We don't even know everything about planet Earth. We haven't even finished exploring every inch of planet Earth, and
the moon.
Or the moon.
Oh, where we haven't been in 40 some years.
Right, totally.
So really, you're going to tell me that you don't believe in ghosts and spirits because A, you haven't seen one, and B, there's got to be, even if you did, you'd probably say, well, there was probably a scientific explanation for that. Now, so the only thing
is, that's
and all
good,
these other people, you know, that are on these, that have these experiences, whether they're on Paranormal Witness, whether they're just by themselves, whether a family member that has basically communicated, no matter what they say, you are going to sit there and call them a liar because you think there is a different explanation, even
don't
though
point
these
at
people
me.
Don't.
I'm not calling you.
No, not yet.
I'll point at
that. That just
Lori's wrong.
Yeah. No, she's
so
wrong.
This kills me because it's like, really, you're not even open to the fact that, okay, that is something that can't be explained right this second.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whether you think it's a ghost or some other phenomenon, if it can't be explained, and clearly, science has a lot long way to go to explaining these kind of things.
No, 6 years ago, I was at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs, if anybody's been there. It's been around for like 100 years. They have a carriage museum there. And I was, of course, sneaking out of work. So I was like, let me go check out the carriage museum. So I walked in and I walked around, and there was an old Cadillac that was custom made by the owner of the Broadmoor, the original owner's wife. She made it just, she had it made just for him. So I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden I could hear, I couldn't hear in my ears, but like in my body, I could feel somebody screaming at me, go away.
Whoa.
Every hair
okay,
on my body.
Okay, that just like creeped me out.
Yeah. Every hair on my body stood up. And I was like, I don't
think I'm going to go away.
So I took a picture and I walked away. And the guy that ran the carriage museum, as I was walking out, said, how'd everything go? And I was like, good.
You
and
weird.
And I go, I have a question for you. Is this place haunted? And he goes, nah, I don't know why. And I go, let me be more specific. Is that car, that Cadillac, haunted? He goes, well, maybe. Who knows? I go, let me be more specific. Is the back seat of that Cadillac haunted? And he goes, look at my arm right now. Every hair on his arm was standing straight up. He goes, we've had paranormal crews in here, psychics, that have pinpointed all the paranormal activity in this place to the back seat of that Cadillac.
Wow. What the hell?
He goes, and you would have no way of knowing that. But when that car was built in like 1920, the owner of the Broadmoor's wife said, because he wrote, the guy wrote it in it once, and then she said, and then he died. She's like, I don't want anybody ever in that car again. And they put it away for decades.
Whoa.
And he was like, you would have.
That's like a curse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but she
cursed it.
In the back. No, she didn't curse it. She sits in the back of that car trying to fend people off.
Wow.
As it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
But so, I mean, that point on, I was like, you know what? I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything.
But you kind of did.
But I know exactly what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that there was a woman. And it was very specific. It wasn't a guy yelling at me. It was a woman yelling at me to get away from the car. And when I went to the curator of the museum, he goes, that's exactly what we've had every crew in here say.
That's crazy.
It all comes from the backseat of that Cadillac. So, I mean, it was from that point on that I was like, you know, I'm a show me.
Sure.
I want to believe, but show me more evidence.
Right.
But something like that, you know what? I was on board 100%.
Right.
Totally.
Well, they're saying that now that, you know, they've known the super giant structures in between this star and Earth that there's out there, that they think they've now discovered that there's a giant alien structure somewhere, that they can theorize that that's what it is, yet they can't see it.
Is that an ancient alien theory?
Well, Stephen Hawking is also
it was on.
Yeah, he's like terrified that there's going to be like really mean aliens.
So to me, that's science. All right, the scientists are saying, "Hey, we think that there's, you know, based off of these things, we've known this for years, but we really couldn't say." And that's what the guy said today earlier. He's like, "Well, they've kind of known this for years, but they really couldn't just come out and say it without getting a little bit more." I think that now we're coming into an age where there's a little bit more acceptance in all sorts of things.
Right, like you were saying, you know, even 10 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to talk about any of this stuff without people being like, "You're an idiot."
But somebody would be doing the cuckoo thing, like I'm doing right now, around your head.
You'd have to be around the right kind of people.
You and know look what at mean? The paranormal witness. The things like paranormal witness. I keep bringing this up because it's a great show, and those are real people talking about their experiences. So if they talk about it and they're saying that, look at those as compared to whenever they go back and they do the reenactments. It's always somebody didn't tell their husband or wife or friends because it was the 80s or 90s and they would think they're crazy.
But how do you bring that up?
Are you kidding me? We always tell our daughters, if you would ever say that. If you would ever come to me and say, look, I've seen this happen.
Weird shit is happening.
We would believe you. I promise we will never be like, oh, you're just crazy.
But it's more acceptable now to say you saw something paranormal than it is to say to your wife, like, I want a threesome.
But because why? Well, that may not be quite as fun.
Depends on your wife, I guess.
Yeah. I just had to throw that out.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, yeah. You never know.
Because I knew it would make Lori laugh.
You could be having a lot of threesome all the time. You
and
don't know
blush.
It.
Hey, honey, blushing.
Hey, honey, I saw a ghost, and by the way, there's a Swedish nanny that just turned 18 that I think would be fantastic for getting the whites whiter than ever.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's science, honey. It's science.
Science.
Stop being a skeptic, would you?
You are a naysayer, honey.
These things really do happen. No, it's just, yeah, it's, again, it really is far more acceptable now to say, sure. You know what, do I know everything? Nope. Do mm-hmm. I believe in certain things? I do. You know, Leonard Nimoy had that show In Search Of in the 70s, and that really was the first time I was like, I know Leonard Nimoy. Yeah. He's on Star Trek. And I get like, Jesus, I went to Stonehenge for no other reason than it used to be on In Search Of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went there stood there for an entire day, and I was like, if you've never been to Stonehenge before, if you go there and you don't feel the energy of something other than what you're aware of, you're a complete fool, because mm-hmm. something more...
All right.
Paranormal is not the word. There is a bigger energy at Stonehenge than you will ever understand. And I didn't understand it.
All of those standing stones, because there's a lot of them scattered around.
Well, Avery, which is just up the road from there, is actually a bigger Stonehenge than Stonehenge is. And, and, you know, you can walk up and actually touch those stones. But I mean, we're talking thousands of years ago.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, you stand there and you go, maybe I'm not all that significant. Right. Maybe I am a grain of sand in a giant ocean of stuff that really, I'm not that significant. And why I think that somehow I don't believe makes me more important than people that do.
Right.
I mean, it's just, there's just bigger stuff out there that, you know, I don't get it, but I hope to find...
Well, making a blanket statement that there are no such thing as ghosts or aliens or Bigfoot or Loch Ness is just... to me, is small-minded. And it just shows that, wow, if you're not even willing to accept, okay, well, I've never seen it. You're not willing to accept that there's a possibility of these things, let alone mm-hmm. whether it's been proven right or wrong. I mean, there's some things you're not going to be able to prove
right or
wrong.
Nobody's ever proved it wrong, though.
And that's right. What they're on.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you never prove it right. Well, you've never proven it not right.
Right.
So
somebody needs the 100% absolute proof that it's true, then I need the 100% absolute truth that it's truth mm-hmm. that it's not.
Right.
And I don't have either.
Right.
Which is why we're talking about it.
No, sure. It was just like the Earth being flat. So there were people
exactly.
back then. Mm-hmm. They were positive. They would bet their mother's life that the Earth is obviously flat. Are you kidding me? Don't you know science? Look at the horizon. The Earth is flat. They were convinced, and yet that wasn't true. So to me, a haunted tour around the bars.
I think it sounds awesome.
Might be a great way for you to kind of open up your... You don't even have to believe. You can just open up mm-hmm. your mind to the
possibilities. And all you really need is $20.
Right. Exactly. $20.
Sure.
I mean, first, we'll open your mind for $20.
That's right. Yeah.
That's all it takes.
There's no dealer in town that can do that.
Yeah.
Of course, that would be if we had any space left over, but we don't because these things sell out quickly. Which tells me that people are on board with at least the premise that maybe I don't understand everything.
Right.
And maybe I do like a vodka tonic at Sunday morning at 11:30.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we can do both.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
you know, we're here to fill both needs. We're here less for your vodka tonic. You can do that at home. We're there more for your, why don't we experience something that maybe makes us a little uncomfortable, but we're willing to give it a try and figure out if maybe there's just more out there.
So both these nights sold out. Both the tours
days
or days.
Or nights. They're Sundays.
Days, yeah. Days. No, we do days. Just because this is more geared toward women that are between the ages of 25 and 45. I can get guys to go to bars and drink beer and pay money, you know.
Whenever.
That's not hard to do. So the idea was, deep down, I believe that women are more receptive to this whole concept of paranormal and understanding that there may be things or people or entities out there that, you know, are around where you are, but, you know, don't wish to interfere with your life, but do want to interact with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's always the guy that's like, oh, honey, you're crazy.
It's always
the
guy.
Woman that gets the scratches and the oh,
right.
They see now, the little boys.
There are some guys that are into it too, but I, you know, I've learned over the last few years that it's an event for women. And because there's beer involved, I know there's guys that'll show up like crazy. So that's never the issue.
So you're doing a Sunday and a Thursday? Or
a Sunday and then the following Sunday. So the 1st and the 8th of November.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the 8th. Okay, cool.
I mean, quite frankly, you get a cool shirt the whole thing costs $20. You get a cool shirt the minute you show up, which you pay $20 for. So everything else is just gravy,
right? Sure.
In my mind,
and it's a good thing. Good thing to do on a Sunday. It's not super scary because it is during the day.
Yeah.
But you're going to get a ton of history off of this. So not only, I mean, you're going to learn some of the most iconic places about some of the most iconic buildings in Omaha and the downtown area. That I think just in general, whether anything happens or not, you're going to get a great historic tour of Omaha, which I'm all about too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's
and meet some people. Right.
And to me, that's the biggest thing at the end of the day is you meet other people that maybe not have the same beliefs or background or interests that you do,
mm-hmm.
but they have enough that you now have a friend that you can,
right.
you know, friend up on Facebook or mm-hmm. social media. And really, the at the end of the day, these events have become about other people meeting people that they would find interesting
exactly.
and be friends with. But they would have never gotten together if I hadn't put on an event like this.
And Which is awesome.
And to me, that's at the end of the day, that's worth more money than than all the tea in China, which is a trite saying.
Yeah, right.
And kind of racist too, but
yeah. Well, there's a lot of tea in China.
There is a lot of tea in China. Or is there? I don't know. Where does tea come from? I don't even know.
All over. Every country has its own version of teas. But
all right. So, but at the end of the day, really, I mean, I've become extremely proud of is that I can get people to meet other people that enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what? Do I make money from doing this? I have never made, again, a dime from any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, I immediately donate it to charity. So
This
is about what I enjoy. This is about what I find fun. And it's about getting people to meet other people, which to me is the ultimate goal. If you're a bar person, because you want all your bar friends to like all your other bar friends.
So. Right. Sure. Yeah. That's why you're hanging out.
Yeah.
Everybody knows your name.
Right. Yeah. No. I am the Norm Peterson of the Omaha Cheers bar world.
Right? So. I like it. That's good.
All right. So, yeah.
3D. So, basically, people can't do the Haunted Hangover this year, 2015, but if they were smart, they would get on the stick and...
Watch out for next year.
Pay attention to next year.
Yeah, I mean, you could also, though, if you're interested in just helping out around the community, we have the Hit That Dive Office Christmas Party, which is on December 6th. So all the money from the Haunted Hangover goes to that, where we help out families all across Omaha. But it's the Hit That Dive Office Christmas Party is the idea I had a few years ago when I thought that when I worked in an office that everybody would get drunk on Harvey Wallbangers and photocopy their butts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And have the most sort of politically incorrect party possible.
I would judge a company by their Christmas party if I wanted to work
there. And now nobody does that. So I decided I will do it myself. So for the last 2 years, we've done that. And as it turns out, last year, we raised $4,000. We went out and bought carts full of groceries for people as they were checking out of line in Walmarts and Kmarts No Frills. Somebody took our picture and the thing went, I hate the word viral.
Oh, it went viral, Steve.
It went viral. You love it.
Such an awful word. But no, I was getting emails and phone calls and letters from people all across the country that said,
come to Walmart. I'm gonna be at Walmart at 9.
Well, I got that one.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of people that were like, you know, we saw what you guys did, and, you know, we never thought about helping out in our community, and we didn't think we could. But really, $5 goes a long way to help out somebody. We were buying hundreds of dollars of stuff for people. So, it's weird. I don't know. I really just want to write about dive bars and not be bothered with everything else. But when you find out you can help out in a community, you do it. But so... So the money from the Haunted Hangover goes to the Hit That Dive Office Christmas Party, where we will go around this year with thousands of dollars and help out. Last year we helped out, I would assume, about 30 families. This year we're hoping it's going to be closer to 150 families.
That'd be awesome.
And you know what? If you're right about dive bars and paranormal bars and haunted bars and hang out in Wayne and Laurie's basement, drink beer and talk about stuff, and nobody gets mad at you for nothing else other than... You left there probably drunker than you should have been. Why the hell would you?
Why not?
Why would you care?
That's right.
No, it's really one of the cooler things I've ever done, and it gets me out of doing my real job. So,
even better.
Yeah, you gotta like it. if they want to find you online, it's hitthatdive.com.
Hitthatdive.com. The Haunted Tour is hauntedhangoveromaha.com. On Twitter, it's hitthatdive and the number 1.com. And what other things are there?
Are you going to be on the radio? You're on the radio show.
Well, yeah, I am on every Friday on 1290 Coil with the Bob Bruce Radio Experience.
Ooh.
Yeah, I am the official Friday co-host, so I interject a little bit of the real world into
It's Bob. A fun show. I've been on that show.
Yeah,
really
and
fun.
Wayne's been on there, and I interject a little bit of the real world into Bob's sort of archaic views of 1972 America when his flat top was still cool. And, and don't get me wrong, I love Bob to death, and he's been a great friend of mine. You can hear me on the Pat and JT Morning Show. You can hear me on 101.9 The Keg quite often with Crash Davis. It's weird that people have invited me into their homes and the spaces and where they live, much like you guys. And then again, they invite me back.
So, right, see?
Once again. So against our better judgment.
No, exactly. No, so it's one of the, to me, it's one of the biggest compliments I've ever. I was actually given an award by my undergraduate college. I was one of two alumni of distinction.
Ooh,
for nice. Our 25th college reunion 3 weeks ago in Pittsburgh.
Sweet.
So I was there with doctors and lawyers and, you know, a guy that's a Supreme Court justice in New Jersey. And some dude named Steve.
Congratulations. So, that's a big deal, man. So,
Mr. Scuba.
Yeah, so it's weird. So it's like what hit that dive and what I do and what you guys help me do doesn't amount to a whole lot. I mean, we're not talking about billions of dollars, millions of dollars, hundreds of dollars. But somehow we make a difference once in a while. And what's cool is that's made a difference in other people's lives. They're like, well, shit. If Steve can do it, apparently I can get up off the couch and do it too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
So now it's been kind of, the less I write about dive bars, because I really haven't done that a whole lot lately. Because I'm lazy and it takes work.
right.
What's happened is people have picked up on the fact that it doesn't take Warren Buffett to make a difference. Mm-hmm. That you can be Warren Jones.
Yep.
With your $5 in your pocket. And make a difference in wherever it is that you live. So, you know, if that's the one legacy of what I have for Hit That Dive, then that's fantastic. If not, we will get hammered downtown in the Old Market on the 1st and the 8th, and we will make a difference that way, too. So, either way, I win.
Exactly. Win-win. Yeah. Win-win. Yeah. Yeah. All the way around.
Yeah.
We love that.
I like it. Awesome.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, cool, man. We look forward to the Haunted Hangover and more stuff that's happening.
What's up with the cat?
With horror, anyway. He's just kind of bugging out. It's kind of weird.
What's the cat's name?
Tintin.
Yeah.
Cats don't respond to like doing this, do they?
Not really.
No.
He does for me sometimes. Come here, you. See?
No, it works for you.
So cute.
Yeah, it looks good on you.
Buff. All right. Well, hey, that's it for today's show. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Necronomicast. And until next time, my name is Wayne.
This is Lori.
And I am Scuba Steve on the third Worlds of Wayne
Necronomicast.
5 o'clock
whatever
live
the hell
style.
It is. Whatever the hell it is.
Podcast.
You know.
Series of podcasts.
All from this basement.
Right.
All right. We'll see you next time on the Necronomicast.
Ooh. You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a weekly podcast produced by Wayne Brecky, part of the Free Life Media Network. For show notes and other information, go to necronomicast.com.